Good evening, everyone, and forgive me for being a couple minutes late. I was here just maneuvering some things around, and before you know it, before I knew it, it was past starting time. So anyway, we're excited to be able to be here tonight, and I hope everyone has had a good week so far. This is midweek prayer meeting here at Calvary, and it's the midweek for those at work. You're almost to Friday, and so your day is coming. But anyway, we love coming together, gathering around God's Word on Wednesday. Just seems like midweek is a dip, can be a dip in the week, in the week's process. And so it's a good, great opportunity to get plugged in and see what the Lord may have for us tonight and on each and every Wednesday night. And again, just welcome tonight to Calvary Baptist Church Wednesday night service. And we want to dive right into a couple updates and a couple prayer requests. And then we're going to pray, and Lord willing, we'll bring around the message here in just a few moments. But tonight, let's continue to remember the dailies. And we had Brother Jim's homegoing service last weekend. And man, what a great service it was. Just the life that Brother Jim lived, and you know, the Indonesian choir that came up. I told someone the other day, I said, man, I said, he did pretty good to have an international choir show up. You know, Indonesian choir, that is awesome. You know, Brother Jim was just a blessing. He was a role model, mentor to many, and he definitely influenced my life. So let's remember Miss Dawn, Jim Jr., Mark, family, Rebecca and all tonight. Rusty and Chris Watkins, I exchanged some messages with them by way of text today, and Brother Rusty is and Miss Chris are both negative now with the COVID, and I believe they've been that way for just a little while. And Brother Rusty is back at work, but he is having some difficulty with his oxygen numbers, I believe it is. And so let's remember that. It just seems like I think it differs when he's walking and as opposed to standing in one place. And well, you can just, you know, imagine yourself when you're walking, you're exerting, and when you're in one place, you're not. So also Miss Chris, she looking forward to that strength coming back, the taste coming back, I believe she said. But let's remember them in our prayers tonight. And also, I posted today with the permission of Jeff, Brother Jeff and Miss Sharon Hodges, concerning their son-in-law, Chris Fall. Chris Fall, that went home to be with the Lord on the 23rd. And he's going to have a memorial service. And we posted that on our church Facebook page. And I believe it's May the 16th at 8 o'clock on Sunday night. I stand corrected if I'm wrong. I don't have the date in front of me, but it certainly is on our church webpage, church Facebook page. And so let's remember Miss Amy. And that's the Hodges' daughter, the wife of Chris. And let's remember her. Let's remember days ahead for them, the Hodges and Miss Amy. I know that difficult days seem to come in waves. So let's remember them in our prayers. Randy and Janet Bailey and his cancer and everything that they have going on. The Tidwells, let's continue to remember them in our prayers. Brother Larry Rich, remember him. And I believe I heard the other day, well, he's, you know, living with his son and battling many things. I believe dementia is one of those things. But He has certainly resigned, retired the church there, Victory Baptist off of Austell Road. My great aunt Jackie goes there. She has for 111 years. and so she passed along that information to us. But let's remember him tonight. Miss Cassie Karanovich, we are praying for you. Hope you're doing well. Leonard Palmer, of course, his surgery. I have two surgery dates here, May the 6th, May the 10th, and I believe there's some other dates in the midst and mingle of those. So we will update that for Sunday. David and Glenda Henderson, their friend Claude, who is under 24/7 care. James and Shirley Townsend. Let's remember our precious children's home, that ministry there, that God would shield that ministry, protect that ministry. And let's just pray for the staff. Let's pray for the children. Calvary Children's Home, and I'm preaching to the choir, I've talked to the choir, I know, but what a wonderful foundation. I mean, from the very beginning, how it was founded by Brother Ben, and everything that has taken place, God's hand has been on our children's home, and it will forever be. And, you know, it's just like David in the book of Psalms, how that David was going to do the right thing, living for the Lord, and enemies approached, and people tried to plot, tried to tear down that testimony. But I believe Calvary Children's Home is going to stand the test of time. They have so far, and I know they will continue. But let's remember them. And let me just say this. I appreciate Brother Brian, Busby, Miss Melita, Juliana. Last Sunday morning, the service we had, he just did an outstanding job. And many people don't know this, but not really sure about if I shouldn't mention it or not. I guess it don't matter. It's a good thing. But Brother Brian preached this past Sunday morning after preaching, I believe, five or six times the week before. And so he had been preaching in a revival all week. And yet God showed up this past Sunday morning. And Miss Melita, again, the singing, everything from start to finish. Brother Kevin and his spiritual poetry, the baptism, and even Sunday night, our parking lot service we had with the fellowship. Everybody just pitching in. Last Sunday was just a wonderful, wonderful Sunday. And that's something that we want to continue. But nonetheless, we appreciate Brother Brian and staff. Let me move on. Let's remember Brother Harold Dolph in our prayers. And as he is continuing to go through physical ailments, Charlie Wilson, I was told this past Sunday, has Parkinson's. And he is getting a check on his prostate for cancer. Miss Marcia Turner, let's remember her and her health. Brother Snyder as well. Melissa Slagle. Brother Don and Sister Carla Rich, I believe you guys, if you're watching, are getting ready to head this way in a day or two. And so we welcome you. We are excited to have you over here close to us, and looking forward to seeing you soon and maybe sharing a cup of coffee with you. And so also let's remember Brother Ceylon, his boss that has cancer. Miss Catherine Clemens and her mother, just really having a rough time there. The Teagues and Brother Larry, Miss Connie, and of course Miss Christy, and then her brother Bill. Let's remember the whole family. It was good to see Brother Larry at the funeral of Brother Jim last Saturday, and so I hadn't seen him in a while, and so it was good to see him. Claudia Darby, Miss Dawn Capistrano, I believe she's having surgery tomorrow, is what she told me, on her foot. And so we're praying for you, Miss Dawn. And Barbara Anderson, Miss Lee Ellen told me that, I believe she posted it on our one of our services last week, that she is now having therapy again. Miss Barbara Anderson is at the rehab center. That is tremendous. That's an answer prayer. because all she was doing was sitting up and laying down, never leaving the room. We praise the Lord for that. And I believe also they're going to start letting her go outside to have these visitations. Miss Jenny Clanton, let's remember her. I was told the other day, I'm going to call Miss Jenny tomorrow, but she is struggling to, if I got this correctly, get appropriate oxygen to her brain. And so let's remember Miss Jenny and her brother and her husband, Randy, Diane, and Diane Ely, her brother's cancer, Ed, Marianne Sandby. They are in Florida for about a month, close to it anyway. And so Brother Ed, on Sunday morning, some of you know that they both woke up and he was bleeding out of his ear. And so, of course, that's alarming. And so Miss Marianne took Brother Ed into immediate care and they looked around and they sent him over to the ear, nose, and throat doctor. And spoke with Miss Marianne yesterday. And basically they just said that, you know, it was just a tender place in the ear. Brother Ed wears hearing aids, and so all of that probably works together. But let's pray they have a great time in Florida. Much needed getaway for the Sandbys. Gerald and Francis Carroll, Eddie and Joanne Rich, again, Miss Lee Ellen, Mary, Ashley Aiden, Eli Bentley, all of our shut-ins, McCrickards, Joyce Manning, Ken Bryant, and others. James Tolan Brown, our Marine, and not really sure if Peyton Cochran, one of our children at the children's home, last I heard he was supposed to go and join the Air Force. And so that's where he might be. And so I heard that it was supposed to be this week, I believe. So not only do we have James Tolan Brown as a Marine from the home, but Peyton Cochran, if I'm correct on that. And then, of course, our dear friend, Miss Kim Merritt over at Pleasant Hill. Let's continue to remember one another in prayer. Let's remember our church. Let's remember days ahead. And on Sunday, we'll be ready to give the dates for our Sunday school opening and Wednesday nights. And so thank you for bearing with us on this while we get some particulars ironed out. And all right, well, let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer, and we're excited about the lesson tonight, and I hope that you receive encouragement by watching. Father, we love you. We thank you for who you are, for what you do. And Lord, I pray, Lord, a huge corporate prayer, a blanket prayer over all of our prayer needs here at Calvary. Lord, the ones we've mentioned really is just a drop in the bucket. There's so many things that people really don't even have the liberty to share, God. Those things that are deep within the heart. And Father, even sometimes we don't share those things because we feel that others won't understand or they may take lightly. God, we pray that blanket prayer over our church tonight, that you would be with every heart, every situation, every life, Lord. Give strength, give grace. You get the glory. Father, we pray for Brother Don and Sister Carla as they get ready to fly into the States, God. Give them traveling mercy and safety. Just let them have a great time of relaxation on the way over and peace. And dear Lord, I pray that you would as they go to the different churches to give reports, I pray, Lord, that you'd be with them and give them great services. And Father, tonight we pray for Brother Leonard, who is getting ready for his surgeries, that you would touch him. Lord, this is a very delicate surgery dealing with the eye. And so, Lord, we pray that you would tenderly guide the hands of the doctors. Let this be, Lord, a once-and-done surgery. I know he has two appointments, but Lord, let this be a very, very good, successful surgery, Lord. And Father, we do pray for Miss Amy and the Hodges as they prepare for the memorial service for Chris. God, give strength and give give grace for Miss Amy, so young and now a widow. But Lord, you haven't left her. Lord, you're with her and you're with the Hodges and the other side of the family. We just pray that you'd be with them. Everybody on our prayer list, those, Lord, we failed to mention because their names escape our mind, but they have not escaped your mind. We love you tonight. We thank you. Be with us in the message. Help us be a blessing and be with our world. Be with our leaders. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. Tonight we're going to be in the book of Philippians for just a few moments. Philippians chapter number 2. The New Testament book of Philippians, chapter number 2 in just a moment. And as you're turning there, I trust you're turning there. Tonight we're going to do a character study. And the character we're going to look at for a few moments is a man by the name of Epaphroditus. Epaphroditus. Epaphroditus was a man that Paul, the great apostle Paul, had relied upon to actually deliver this epistle back to Philippi. And let me just say that Epaphroditus is only mentioned here in this little epistle, the book of Philippians. He is only mentioned here. He's mentioned in chapter number 2. Our verses we're going to read in just a moment, verse 25 through 30, and then he's mentioned in chapter number 4, verse number 18. Isn't that something tonight to know that here's a man that was greatly used? I mean, we have the book of Philippians tonight to glean from, and it's all because of this man, Epaphroditus, who was obedient to the Lord, who was faithful even when it didn't feel good. He almost actually died. He got sick serving the Lord during this time. You know, thank God tonight for those who keep going when they don't feel good. We praise the Lord for those who have years ago laid the foundations of structurally of Calvary, but also of the doctrines of Christ and preaching and teaching, and even when they don't feel good, and even when perhaps there were church problems and things going on in their own personal lives. The older I get, and of course I just had a birthday, but the older I get, the more I realize that you have to keep on going. If you are waiting on the emotions to meet you in order to accomplish something or keep on going, then at least 50% of the time, there'll be no accomplishment. And so the older I get, the more I realize that we can't rely on our emotions. We just need to commit to whatever responsibilities we have in life. Whether we feel good, that's great, or we feel bad, we're sick in body, we got to keep on moving. That was Epaphroditus. And God used him greatly. His character speaks volumes in this one and only book. So tonight, as we look at this man, Epaphroditus, and connections that he had to Paul and Philippi, and as he delivered the gift to Paul, and he almost died, tonight, Epaphroditus was a man that was very much so deserving to be modeled after. So therefore, tonight I want to preach for a few moments on this subject, the excellent example of Epaphroditus. The excellent example of Epaphroditus. My prayer tonight is, in the lesson, is that we would just glean some things about this man. That we would glean some of the characteristics he possessed, some of the oomph that he had, and so that we might progress in maturity and move closer and closer to the Lord. And so four things tonight about Epaphroditus. Number one, I want you to notice the trustworthiness of Epaphroditus. Look at verse number 25. Let's read our verses. But number one, the trustworthiness of Epaphroditus. Verse 25, Philippians 2. Yet I supposed it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus. Listen to all these titles he has. My brother and companion in labor and fellow soldier, but your messenger and he that ministered to my wants. For he longed after you all and was full of heaviness because that you had heard that he had been sick. And so let me stop there for a moment. Epaphroditus was filled with emotions, heavy emotions, because the people of Philippi, they were sad because he was sick, and he was sad because they were sad that he was sick. What a man with a great big heart that God is developing. And so we see that in verse number 26. Verse 27, for indeed he was sick nigh unto death, but God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I sent him therefore the more carefully, that when ye see him again, ye may rejoice, and that I may be the less sorrowful. Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such a reputation, because for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life to supply your lack of service toward me. Look in chapter number 4 while we're at it, in verse number 18. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. That's our verses tonight. In these verses, number one, we see, as we talk about this excellent example of Epaphroditus, we see the trustworthiness of Epaphroditus. When you study his life in these verses, you will find that Epaphroditus could be trusted. And so we see that he was entrusted with a gift for Paul. Because he could be trusted, he was entrusted to run this gift from Philippi to Rome, where Paul was at in prison. He was a trustworthy man. And so when the church of Philippi heard that Paul was in a Roman prison, they sent Epaphroditus with a gift to help relieve Paul. Now, look in verse number 30. It says, because for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life, listen to this, to supply your lack of service toward me. He's just speaking of that gift that Epaphroditus brought. Again, verse number 18, middle ways through, it says, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you. And so we see here that he was a trusted man. The church of Philippi trusted Epaphroditus with this gift. And most people believe there was an offering that was taken up to give to Paul. And also there were some other particulars, maybe a cloak or a coat, maybe some parchments to write down these epistles on. And all kinds of different things was wrapped up in this gift. And so the church of Philippi, they noticed this man Epaphroditus, that he was a faithful man. They noticed that he was genuine, he was real, and he was very honest, he was dependable. And so that's the kind of man that this church desired to send to Paul. And can I say tonight, in like manner, when it comes to the house of God, when it comes to leadership, when it even comes to just each and every Christian that's sitting on the pew, when it comes to being responsible in God's house, when it comes to ministering to others and and just even teaching a lesson, preaching a message, and trying to win souls, we need to be like Epaphroditus. We need to be that kind of man that is honest and dependable. I want to be dependable, don't you? I want to be the kind of man where someone in the church says, Brother Justin, would you pray for me? I know you're a praying man. I know you're in the Word. That's the kind of man I want to be, where when something is happening in someone's life, they think of me. And I know you the same way. I know you want to be used of God, and I know you are being used of God. But Epaphroditus was this man that was of honest report, a faithful man, and a very dependable. And so the church would only send a man they knew to be honest and dependable. When a church gets ready to ordain deacons, they will look and seek deacons that line up with Titus, Timothy, all those qualifications. But also the Bible says, lay hands on no man suddenly. There ought to be a time period where a person is proving of themselves. And especially a deacon, they have opportunity to serve. Some churches do like 6 months to join the deacons' meetings and serve as a deacon to see if it's something they want to do. But it's also a time to prove yourself. And that's what we need in our churches. We need deacons. And praise the Lord, we have deacons that are dependable and honest. But we need that kind of those kind of characteristics in the house of God, in the community of the Lord's body, as we move and carry out the gospel. We need dependable people. And so we see that the church would not send a man that was greedy. The church would not send a man that was dishonest or selfish. And so they were very particular when they were choosing someone to send this gift to their beloved Apostle Paul. It couldn't have been a person who hit and missed, church. It couldn't have been the person who, wouldn't much rather, I should say, frivolous with their finances or money. And it couldn't have been a person who was greedy of filthy lucre or a person that was selfish. No. It had to be a person that was honest, a person that resembled the Lord Jesus Christ, a person that was dependable. Tonight I want to say that we see the trustworthiness of Epaphroditus. Every Christian ought to strive to possess this kind of character as Epaphroditus. To be known as an honest person, especially when it comes to money, since that's such a tough subject. And so we see the excellent example of Epaphroditus. He was a trustworthy man. But number two, I want you to notice the testimony of Epaphroditus. The trustworthiness of Epaphroditus, but then the testimony of Epaphroditus. Look in verse number 29. The Bible says, "Receive him, therefore, in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputation." Now, that word reputation means an estimation in which a person is held. Reputation basically is an estimation in which a person is held. You know the old saying, that person really sized me up. I guess that could really carry a little bit of weight. Because when we're around people and when we go to church regularly and even when we're on the job, we set patterns after ourselves. We do. Whether we realize it or not, we set patterns. And the people, they give an estimation of us, our work ethic, and our character and things along those lines. Well, Epaphroditus, the estimation of him from Paul was that he was a man that had a good reputation. And so we see that he was a man who had a good reputation, a godly reputation. He was honest and all of those other things. A man that had a good reputation has a good testimony. That was Epaphroditus. The Bible says at the end of verse 29, "Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness and hold such in reputation." And so he was esteemed. He was thought a lot about because of the character that he had. And so because of this, he had a good testimony. Now, let me say this. The other Wednesday, I believe it was maybe last Wednesday, we talked, or the Wednesday before then, they all run together. We talked about testimonies. And I want to get back into a little bit of that for just a moment. The testimony of Epaphroditus, he had one that was personal. We all have a personal testimony. We all have a testimony by which God has allowed us to go through things and character to be developed. Number one, our salvation experience, but even that, we start to develop a reputation, a testimony, and then it's a very personal one. That's what we see in Epaphroditus, his reputation. The testimony he carried, it was one that was very personal. But not only that, his testimony was powerful. Testimonies within themselves are powerful. Testimonies and the way you live your life, your reputation has an influence. It has a way of influencing others, bringing impact on others. And certainly this man, he had that kind of influence on others because of the heart that he had, because of the journey he was on to go to Paul to help him, almost dying for the Lord Jesus Christ. And testimonies are precious. Epaphroditus, I'm sure, had to guard his testimony. He had to guard his reputation. And tonight, it's true, all of us as believers, as Christians, born again in the Lord, we have to guard our testimonies. You can spend your whole entire Christian experience building your reputation, building a name for the Lord, and if we're not careful, those little foxes will come in. If we're not careful, we will leave a door cracked that should be shut. And so we have to be careful when it comes to our reputations and testimonies. We need to guard it. They're precious. They're powerful. They have an influencing way upon others. Then they're personal. We each have our own personal testimonies, how that God has worked in our life and changed us and saved us. And so we see the testimony of Epaphroditus. It was said in verse 29 that he had a reputation, and we know that it was a great reputation, testimony. Epaphroditus was a man of reputation. He carried a testimony that he was God's servant. It was personal to him, powerful to others, and because of that, he guarded it tightly. Again, church, I want to echo what I've been saying on this point, that the devil cannot take a Christian to hell, so he tries to destroy their testimony. Let us be careful when it comes to guarding our testimony tonight. Number three, we're looking at the excellent example of Epaphroditus. Number three tonight, we see the true humbleness of Epaphroditus. The trustworthiness, the testimony, but then the true humbleness of Epaphroditus. Paul gives three examples of meekness and humility for this church to follow. We're in chapter number 2. Look at verse number, we're not going to read all these verses, but verse number 5 through 11, we see here that Paul gives the example, number 1, of Jesus when it comes to meekness and humility for this church to follow. Verse number 5, we'll read a few. Chapter 2, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. We'll just read all the way through. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. You see, Paul, he is laying out before this church, the church of Philippi, one to pattern after. Someone who has the greatest characteristics of humility and meekness, and that is Jesus. So the church of Philippi were to model after him. And he's the best tonight. He's the greatest. And so he ought to be our number one model. But number 2, Paul uses Timothy. Look in verse number 19 through 23. Paul uses Timothy here. He says, but I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. How about that? For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. I want to stop there. Paul is actually bringing out something in humanity, how all seek their own, but also, as we're going to mention in a moment, the church of Philippi actually had some disunity. They actually had, listen, it's not just the church of Corinth was, now that church was very carnal. They had issues. The church of Philippi had some issues as well. There is not a church in this world that doesn't have issues from time to time. It's just like someone said, well, I'm going to go join, you know, the perfect church. I'm looking for the perfect church. Well, if you ever should find it, then it wouldn't be perfect anymore because you're there and I'm there. And so Timothy is this kind of person who was selfless and he loved genuinely the Philippians. Look in verse number 22. But ye know the proof of him, Timothy, that as a son with the father, he has served with me in the gospel. Him, therefore, I hope to send presently, so soon as I shall see how it will go with me. Timothy was an example for this church to model after when it comes to meekness and humility. But number 3, Epaphroditus. Look again in verse number 25. He says, yet I supposed it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus. Epaphroditus had already made the delivery, and now Paul is sending him back. Yet I supposed it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, and companion in labor, and fellow soldier, but your messenger, and he that ministered to my wants. Verse 26 again speaks of his heavy heart because the people had a heavy heart. Verse 27 speaks of his near-death experience serving the Lord. Verse number 28 down to verse number 30 speaks of his reputation, speaks of his character, and it speaks of the gift he brought. So we see that there was true humbleness of Epaphroditus, that he would almost give his life for the life of Paul, that he would deliver this gift and put his life at stake, that he was trustworthy and that he was honest and he valued those things to guard them. The true humbleness of Epaphroditus. Epaphroditus was sick and cared for the church that cared for him and his condition while at Rome with Paul. He was a man that put others first. Lord, help us tonight do that. Help us tonight, Lord, know and experience the joy of putting others first. The very joy of putting others first. Someone said one time, well, what's the definition of joy? Or, in fact, there's an acronym. JOY stands for this. J, Jesus first. O, others second. Y, yourself last. That's the definition of joy. Let us tonight put others first and seek their welfare. You will be surprised how it will uplift you. So we see Epaphroditus was a man of true humbleness and meekness. Now, believe it or not, the church of Philippi, as I said a moment ago, had a time of division. Look in chapter number 4, in verse number 2. This division was over two women that were at odds. Verse number 2 of chapter 4. I beseech Eudaeus and beseech Syntyche that they be of, and here it is, the same mind in the Lord. The same mind in the Lord. And so they were contrary one to the other. We don't know really what the problem was. Probably had something to do with what kind of flowers were outside of this church. Something like that. It's never really anything big that the devil uses to divide a church. He can use big things. But there was division in this church. And so in this letter, the entirety of this letter, the book of Philippians, Paul gives the key on how to overcome this problem. Being of the same mind, not different minds. Chapter number 2, our chapter tonight, verse 3 through 5, he says how to overcome this problem. Put others first. Look in verse number 3, chapter 2. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind. Let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And he goes on, the verse that we read, talking about his humbleness of Jesus. And so Paul uses these verses, and he really stresses putting others first. Man, let us put others first. Let not me hold anything in my heart toward anybody. Let me be an example of forgiving others and loving others and going the extra mile for others to make someone's load lighter. We never know what anybody's going through at any given time. Let us offer a kind word when we greet each other, and let us acknowledge one another's presence when we come into contact with one another. You just never know what someone's going through. And so Paul, the key on how to overcome this problem of division in the church, put others first. Think about that. If we put others first, how would the church be doing? The church would be thriving. But then Paul uses, in order to overcome this problem, he uses Epaphroditus as an example of humility for the church to follow. Think about this for a second. And so we have this division going on between these two women, and possibly down through, you know, the life of the church. Other problems may have arose. I'm sure they did. And so Paul, he uses this experience with Epaphroditus, going all the way to Rome, almost dying, not sure if he's coming back, a man of character and being honest, he put Paul's life before his life. And so we see that in this book, that's exactly what Paul was doing. He was using this man as an example. We see that Epaphroditus was an excellent example of humility, an excellent example of being a servant, putting others first. Let me mention one more thing. The excellent example of Epaphroditus, we see the trustworthiness, the testimony, the true humbleness. And lastly, I want to look at the titles for Epaphroditus. Look back in verse 25. You remember a moment ago we called our attention to these different names. There's four different titles Epaphroditus was given. And so in verse 25, the first one is brother. Yet I supposed it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother. My brother. Let me ask this question tonight. Whatever happened to the church of God calling each other brother and sister? You know, this word, this name, brother, it's a family-related name. We are part of God's family by the new birth, and because of that, we are brothers and sisters in the Lord. Some people have, I don't know, maybe they feel like that it's old South, ancient, but I want to tell you what, it is a joy and honor to be able to come to church or on a phone call, see a brother or sister in the Lord and say, how you doing, brother? Or God bless you, sister. And I know that I know you can overuse that and wear the thing out. Well, hallelujah, sister. Praise the Lord, sister. What you need, sister? What you doing tomorrow, sister? Hey, brother. I understand that. But to never say, how are you this morning, brother? How are you this morning, sister? I think it's detrimental to us as a family. Let us see our relationship together. There's a lost world out there that you could just call by name. Joe at the store, Tom at the market, Jill, you know, at the laundromat. You could call them by name. But from time to time, on occasion, let us be like Paul, where he says that Epaphroditus was my brother, a family name. Excuse me. A family name. But then there's another name, and that is companion in labor. He says, yet I suppose it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, and companion in labor. The companion in labor title basically means fellow worker. Epaphroditus was a man who worked hard for the Lord. He took his hand to the plow and didn't look back. Tonight we can truly, truly glean from this title the kind of business we need to be in with the Lord. A companion in labor, a worker for the Lord. Let us take our hand to the plow and not look back. Even now, more time than ever, this very moment, coming out of this pandemic, getting ready to be fully back in. I mean, we've got things on the calendar that's building, and trust me, we're getting ready for Wednesday night Sunday school, and we'll be all back in. But things are building. We have the diplomats coming in May, Mother's Day in May, graduation in May. Then in June, we have Father's Day. And, you know, there's typically VBS is in June, somewhere around in there. You know, things are building. And let us not be passive. Let me not be passive. Let us start with me tonight. Let me be a hard worker here at Calvary. Let me always, as the pastor, be thinking ahead. Let me, as the pastor here at Calvary, always have something in front of us to do and never just be passive and Sunday in, Sunday out. I'll do it next time. Oh, help us be like Epaphroditus. Paul says he was a companion in labor. And if you work with Paul, you know you're going to work. That brother, he worked. And then he says, fellow soldier. Of course, we have made reference to, we've mentioned, we've read the time that Epaphroditus almost died serving God. And I want to say that the Christian life is a battle. Sometimes we get bad reports from the doctor. Sometimes it's cancer. That's your battle. It has started. Sometimes it's more of a spiritual battle that's in your mind, which we all experience. It could be something on the job. It could be something in the family, just making a stand for the Lord and trying to be a witness for Him. And yet, coming into contact with trials and tribulations and setback and heartache. Listen, being a Christian is being a soldier. So we see that the Christian life is a battle. Lastly, tonight we'll be through. He says, but your messenger. And so this tells us that Epaphroditus truly came out of this church and started there at Philippi and went from Philippi to Rome with a gift. Messenger. Now the word for messenger here can mean delegate or apostle. He was the representative of this church, and he was carrying the gift. A man of honest behavior. A man that was trustworthy. What better person would you want to represent your church, my church? To have someone in leadership, to have someone have a position, to have someone serve over here, then to have a person who was a steady in character, someone who progressed in maturity. That was Epaphroditus. He was a man who had an excellent, excellent reputation. And this was the man that they sent to represent their church by carrying this gift to Paul. Let us long to be the best representatives of Jesus that we can possibly be. Let us know that the Lord is alive. And as Revelation says, when it comes to the seven churches of Asia Minor, that He's in the church. He knows what's going on. It's the church, Timothy says, of the living God. In conclusion tonight, let me say this. I said it at the beginning, but I want to repeat it. Epaphroditus spent time with Paul in Rome. After a while, he got very sick. So Paul sends him back to Philippi with a letter to the church. Because of the character and faithfulness of Epaphroditus, we have the book of Philippians. The whole world has benefited from his endeavors. Again tonight, Epaphroditus is only mentioned in this book, but because of the kind of character he possessed, we tonight are teaching out of this book. He's only mentioned in this book, yet this book has stood the test of time. This book is known as the book of joy. midst of suffering. Tonight, let us follow the example, this excellent example of Epaphroditus. So tonight, that's our prayer. Father, we love you. We thank you. We praise you for who you are, for what you do. God, I pray that the message was understood very simply. I pray that it was received, Lord. I always want to be a messenger, Lord, who delivers messages with intention. I want to have direction. Father, I pray that it was well received. Help us, Lord, number one, be like you, the best example, the greatest example. But Father, Epaphroditus, a man who almost died so that he could help out this apostle that was in a Roman prison. Because of his faithfulness, we have the book of Philippians. Oh Lord, help us tonight have that kind of faithfulness and temperament about ourselves. We love you. We thank you. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Well, we want to thank you for joining tonight. I hope that you got something out of the word. And we love you. Praying for you. God willing, we will be back Sunday morning in person at 11 o'clock. And then let me say this. Officially, this coming Sunday night is going to be our first official Sunday night back. And we start at 5 o'clock. 5 o'clock. That's one new thing we like to do. And it seems, I've spoke with a lot of people, everybody likes the idea. We're not robbing God at all. We're simply, most people are waiting on 6 o'clock. I'm refreshing myself to 6 o'clock. But if we can get started a bit earlier, well, it can benefit families and those kids that would do well by going to bed early for school. And so, all right. We love you. God bless you. Take care until next time.